Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster program. It is Monday. It's the ninth day of October, which is the federal holiday is Columbus Day, but it's also becoming known as Indigenous Peoples Day. And then, of course, our friends up in Canada, today is Thanksgiving Day. So to all of our Canadian friends, a happy Thanksgiving. In fact, I was up there a year ago today for Canadian Thanksgiving up at Lake Louise. Wow, so much has happened in 1 year. We are in the Green Thing Zilkalo Village studio, the radio station 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted source for live local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. When we have our telephone interviews, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. People are always welcome to call us on our live line at 790-2040. On Monday, we do our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, a wonderful organization, family-run business. Actually, they've been in business since 1985. Moe and the family specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. That means Moe will gladly go out to your home after they frame the piece of work, and they will put it up on the wall exactly the way you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Big milestone weekend coming up. Tucson Meet Yourself, celebrating its 50th anniversary. Hard to believe. This week's one-on-one interview is Maribel Alvarez. She is the associate research social scientist and associate research professor at the Southwest Center at the University of Arizona. Dr. Alvarez is an anthropologist, folklorist, curator, and cultural organizer. She holds the Jim Griffith Chair in Public Folklore at the University of Arizona-based Southwest Center. She's also a board member of the American Folklore Society. Dr. Alvarez, always a pleasure. Great to see you.
Wonderful to be here with you, Bill, always.
Southwest Folk Life Alliance, since 2014, has really kind of taken Tucson Meet Yourself under its wing and is kind of the presenting organization. But there's just so much history here. And my relationship with the late Big Jim Griffith on my television show, Arizona Illustrated, every Monday we would run those news, little film snippets, anywhere from a minute to like 4 or 5 minutes that were produced by my friend Jacobo Ramirez. I mean, that stuff is just timeless, isn't it?
Absolutely. You find Jim and Jacobo one camera.
They did that with one camera, and they did just some, I remember some of those that he was out fishing. He had a fishing pole, and he was standing in the Santa Cruz River, and he was looking for sand trout. I mean, he had just so many great stories, and we certainly miss Big Jim, who left us in December of 2021. Let's talk a little bit about the origin of Tucson Meet Yourself.
Of course, one of the stories that Jim and his wife Loma used to tell is that they noticed that in backyards, temples, churches, local clubs, people were sharing their culture, but only with others of their same culture.
Yeah.
So if you were Polish, you knew that there was a Polish community, you ate Polish food, you sang Polish songs. But your neighbors didn't know that. Your coworkers didn't get access to that cultural richness that everybody had. If you were Yaqui and you knew where to go for the Yaqui ceremonies, well, there off you went on Easter. But it wasn't in the public sphere. It wasn't shared by everybody as, this is who we are Tucsonans, we all belong.
But nobody was talking about diversity in 1974 when the first Tucson Meet Yourself was staged.
That language was not part of our vocabulary then.
I mean, Big Jim was such a visionary. He saw that this cultures coming together would be a great way to bring our community together. But in 1974, this was just almost unheard of.
It was, and in fact, concepts like food, using food to bring people together as a marker of their identity,
yes,
was unheard of. Jim used a term that today people use, food waste. What is that? Oh, that means that it's not just food to be eaten, but food to be enjoyed as a cultural ritual? Oh my God, that blew people's minds because it had just not been thought about that way. The other thing that happened, Bill, is that 1974 was when downtown was in a big downturn.
Yeah.
The hotel, the Fox Theater closed that year.
Yeah.
The last show was, the last film was shown at the Fox June of 74. And in October, Jim wanted to bring people downtown to celebrate. And I remember
so
him telling...
So downtown at that point was really struggling. It was kind of the low point of downtown, wasn't it?
Jim told me that he would go and talk to some prominent folks around town and try to raise some money to put this festival together. And they would say, where again are you going to do this? Downtown.
Yeah, nobody goes downtown unless you're going to the courthouse or something. That was a time when downtown was just basically, a lot of businesses were all shuttered. The department stores by then had, you know, moved out to the suburbs.
And what had been the natural cultural gathering of La Placita and all those neighborhoods had already been gone for 10 years under urban renewal in the 60s. But for Jim, it was very intentional that it had to be in front of the county courthouse. The first stage was actually there, right on the courtyard of the courthouse. And for him, what it meant was a way of saying, I'm here. I'm a Tucsonan. I have the right to claim my day in the sun.
Yes.
Whether I am here for thousands of years.
Yes.
If I'm to own autumn, this is my ancestral land. Or I just arrived yesterday from Peru, Burundi, right?
So
Ukraine.
So many countries are represented. I think there's dozens that come that have food booths, 40, 50 at least?
40 or 50 different ethnicities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what was that first year like? Very small, I imagine.
2,000 people came.
Okay. All right.
Funny fact for you, now that Tucson Eat Yourself is colloquially known here in Tucson as Tucson Eat Yourself.
Yes.
We found in one of the archives a note that they didn't even advertise the food because they didn't think it was going to be the main attraction.
Oh, they thought the entertainment value.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They thought the music. And the program was 2 days only. It was divided between secular music and sacred music. So Sunday was all ceremonial and church music and gospel choirs. And
wow, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday was more of the Western swing, Delta blues.
Uh-huh.
There were some African-American Delta blues players in town at the time. So all of that was Jim's experiment. Experiment, we say, in radical hospitality.
And then you had the expansion, and Tucson Meet Yourself continued to grow to the point where now the growth needs to almost be capped, right?
I mean, pretty much so, because of if we want to continue to be downtown. You
know? What is the footprint like? How many people come? Well, give us the overall view.
Well, 150,000 people over 3 days. Three stages of music, 100 folk artists, traditional artists. Some of them come from cells from the nation, the Tohono O'odham Nation. We have 92 community exhibitors, anywhere from social service agencies to very small mom and pop businesses. And of course, 60 food vendors.
Yes. It's kind of the signature of Tucson Meet Yourself, or known as Tucson Eat Yourself.
It's Jim used to say that it's the sugar-coated carrot.
Yep. We're going to talk more with Mary Bell Alvarez, associate professor, associate research social scientist, and associate research professor at the University of Arizona Southwest Center. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of Tucson Meet Yourself. It's our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They are located right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge, and their website is moesgallery.com. Also want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. Speaking of eating, if you're looking for great comfort food, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, a wide variety of beautiful European-style breads and pastries. They're open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast, 6:30, Tuesday through Sunday. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com, and they do take Monday off. Well-deserved. They'll be back in business and open for you at 6:30 tomorrow morning. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Monday one-on-one. Mirabel Alvarez, Associate Research Social Scientist and Associate Research Professor at the Southwest Center at the University of Arizona, where she holds the Jim Griffith Chair in Public Folklore. And she, of course, is an anthropologist, folklorist, curator, and cultural organizer, and she's going to be very busy this weekend, along with a ton of volunteers and some dozens of staff. The Southwest Folk Life Alliance has been very, very active now for almost 10 years in putting on Tucson Meet Yourself, which celebrates its 50th anniversary downtown Tucson. Let's talk a little bit about, are there some special events planned for the 50th?
Absolutely. Well, Bill, one of the big ones is that for the first time in 50 years, we are having a beer garden.
Oh.
And it's a heritage beer.
Okay.
We partner with Borderlands Brewery.
Uh-huh.
And their wonderful brewmaster there has created a Tucson Wheat Yourself.
Tucson Wheat Yourself. Okay.
Beer.
All right.
And with Sonoran Heritage Wheat.
Uh-huh.
And so this is a new thing for us. Mm-hmm. Took a long time. We knew that if we ever had beer, it would just have to be done the Tucson Meet Yourself way.
Yeah.
With some education, context, and with people who are really committed to heritage sustainability, which mm-hmm. they are. Mm-hmm. They're a good business.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited about that. We'll have an exhibit called 1974, The Way We Were, that looks back at the first Tucson Meet Yourself and at Tucson during that time. By the way, we called it that because that was the number one hit song that year, Barbra Streisand's The Way We Were.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that.
I love that song.
We are playing, can I mention another station here?
Of course.
We're playing a Tucson Hear Yourself segments on KXCI.
Yes.
Which are little snippets of vendors and artists who've participated. We did some oral histories with them a few years back, and you can hear those segments of 3 minutes in KXCI throughout.
So 150,000 people. Now, staging an event like this, really, the planning must go on. It's kind of like the Tournament of Roses over in Pasadena. They start planning for the next Tournament of Roses the day after the parade. You've got to plan almost 12 months in advance, don't you?
Absolutely. And I tell you that the one thing I share with Big Jim, and where we also departed, is that Jim, he let other people help do the production side. He was the content guy. He would introduce the artists. He will pick, you know, the artists. He will be sure that the mission of the festival was carried through in all of the introductions, the relationships. And he had a team of people who always help with the big words, production and logistics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to step in a little bit to learn more than I ever bargained for.
A lot of those people still around?
No, we've had transitions over the years.
Okay.
Yeah, and we have a brand new team this year of wonderful, wonderful people. But I had to get more involved learning about production than in 1970s Jim had to.
Uh-huh.
Just because of the nature of event production is more complicated these days.
Do you have one stage or what?
Three stages.
Three stages. Okay. And how many different entertainers?
About 100.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And 100 manual artists, folk artists.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. The scale is large. And to do that and keep it still educational so that you feel that you're not just
a commercial venture.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was reflecting about how far ahead Big Jim was of, you know, with this type of diversity. Nobody was talking about that really in the early to mid 70s. And, you know, the groundwork for the city of gastronomy that Tucson has been gifted with, I think some of the groundwork was laid by Big Jim.
Absolutely.
Right at the Tucson Meet Yourself. Would you agree with that? Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And it has been recognized. I mean, the folks who put together that application to UNESCO did acknowledge the contribution, the groundwork. And one of the distinctive factors was not only the heritage harvesting and planting here that indigenous communities were doing for thousands of years, but that there was a big food culture. And I tell you what, Bill, not just elite foodie culture, a culture of the common working class folks of our community eating their own foods.
Mm-hmm.
And that was distinctive from, I don't know, Aspen,
yeah.
or other places where you have big food festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Those are amazing. But that Tucson Meet Yourself was in a very distinctive way a festival of the people for the people, that mm-hmm. they brought their own food, that we had a lot of home cooks, and a lot of little restaurants over the years were incubated out mm-hmm. of those home cooks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking about all the different wonderful food, like from Guatemala and all these places, that some of them spun off into little restaurants.
They have.
Here in town. Yeah.
One of the
Ethiopian food. Yeah.
One of the most popular long lines at Tucson Meet Yourself uh-huh. is the line for fry bread.
For fry bread.
And one of the restaurants that got a little start incubating at Tucson Meet Yourself was Cafe Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the Autumn Ladies, another fry bread. We have Coyote Cafe that is running the San Javier Mission,
mm-hmm.
Little restaurant over there. And those are now more widely known. Now mm-hmm. you can go to a lot of festivals. Now Tucson has become quite a city of festivals.
Yeah.
And that has a really blessing in terms of offering. You can go to so many public events with the diversity of music. And
But does it hurt your attendance overall? Does this dilute some of... No.
Not at all. In fact, we kind of think of Tucson Meet Yourself as the big brother or big sister that opened those doors. Relationship with Gertie and the T.O. boys. I mean, we're delighted that they get now to make a living year-round. It's not just the one time at Tucson Meet Yourself where you had the chance to see some of these groups. The Festival of Festivals is what the Arizona Daily Star called it a few years ago. Because
mm-hmm.
the Vietnamese, the Japanese, the many different communities, they still have their own. The Greeks have
yeah.
their own festival, but they have been at Tucson Meet Yourself for 50 years.
Yeah, they've been part of it.
Yep.
Yeah, the Greeks have been one of the staples. What advice do you have for people who have never been out there, and maybe some advice about when to attend, and maybe folks may not want to be involved with a big crowd. Maybe there'd be some kind of better time, like off hours, to come.
Well, the website, TucsonMeetYourself.org, is full of information. The entire program with the schedules is there. There's a map, a footprint. Look, I won't tell you that it doesn't get crowded on Saturday afternoon and evening. It is pretty packed, but there's a lot of things that you can experience if you go in the earlier hours on Friday and in Saturday lunchtime, and Sunday we end at 6 p.m. So there's lots of different ebbs and flows, but definitely it is the kind of event. It's also public, Bill, so we don't charge. It's free.
Yeah, we should have mentioned that. This is a free event.
So we want people to give us donations. If I had $5 for every person that came in, we would pay for the entire festival.
Yeah.
But we still...
Do you have like donation boxes around?
We will have opportunities for folks to donate all throughout.
Good.
But my advice is to go to the website. As always, those nowadays, we pack those with information and
resources.
TucsonMeetYourself.org.
One of our Facebook friends said he loves Cafe Santa Rosa and the banana leaf wrapped tamales from Costa Rica. And he says he loves the paella, which sounds good. And he also mentioned that Gertie. Gertie plays today at the Indigenous Peoples Day event. So Gertie has quite a following.
Oh, Gertie is wonderful. In fact, she'll be giving a talk on Friday at what we call the Memory Tent, that exhibit that I told you called 1974, The Way We Were. On Friday evening, Gertie will be giving a small talk about her history and development and growth. She's grown up with Tucson Meet Yourself, and her art form has now made her an anchor of our community. But she's fabulous. There will be Waila music, which is, of course, social dancing, of course. One mm-hmm. of my greatest moments of joy, Bill, is when I see the crowds dancing to...
To Waila.
To Waila. It's like, okay, we brought it home.
So this is a three-day event. We should mention that things begin Friday, right?
Yes.
Midday or...
There's a lunch crowd there. We begin at 11 on Friday.
Mm-hmm. And you wrap it up Sunday night?
Sunday at 6 o'clock.
This is a free event. And now what about parking? Is there parking or...
Well, there's a lot of parking downtown because public transportation is free.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that. Both the streetcar and the buses. Obviously, there's meters are free after 5 p.m. And we have three big county garages all around us.
Yeah,
that
so there's plenty of parking.
And those usually charge like $5 for an admittance, which is it's relatively affordable.
Maribel Alvarez, thank you, Maribel. I hope you have a great weekend. And I hope the festival goes so well for
Bill,
you.
Bill, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And again, it's TucsonMeetYourself.org for all of the information on Tucson Meet Yourself, the 50th anniversary edition. And again, this is a free event. This is our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe, located right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We are in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things is our go-to place, especially this time of year. Beautiful 13-acre site next to the Brandy Fenton Park. Perfect time of year to replenish the garden with some beautiful color after a very difficult summer. Take a break right here. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midway point on this Monday afternoon in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Time for our monthly segment featuring the monthly scam alert presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Irene Coppola is back with us. Always good to see Irene, who is the leader of the pack, as they say. She is the head of the Better Business Bureau of Tucson, and Denise Alvarez is here, operations manager. Ladies, always a pleasure.
Yes,
let's talk a little bit about folks, if you're of a certain age, I pretty much guarantee you're getting phone calls with people trying to like push healthcare plans, Denise. And are you getting some complaints at the BBB about this?
Yes, definitely. You know, healthcare scams are varied, and they're just like any other scam out there, but in this case, the scammers are posing as government authorities, trying to persuade you to provide information for these plans that they're supposedly, you know, offering you.
So, Irene, they may purport to be with, like, the government talking about your Medicare or your Medicaid account. And if people start talking about that, and especially with older people, that really gets a lot of people concerned.
Absolutely. You know, we have several different versions that the scam has taken off. In this case, the agent, per se, will say, you know, I need to update your account information to send you a new medical card. Or in another version, the scammer will ask for the account number in exchange for free equipment or services, you know, so that will grab the caller's attention. Another version is a threatening robocall, you know, with stating that if you don't get this insurance or if we don't get this info, you're going to face a fine. So, yeah, it's really creating quite the havoc.
Well, they want information, obviously. It always, you know, we do this every month, and a lot of the core of what scammers are fishing for, Denise, is that gold standard. They really want that Social Security number, don't they?
Yes, absolutely.
And if they can get the credit card number.
Yes, absolutely. Or your address. I mean, they ask questions sometimes when you're thinking about putting in a password, right? And it says, you know, the name of the street that you grew up in. And so they try to verify all of this information so that they can get a hold of, you know, again, your Social Security number. And that's how identity theft happens.
So they're trying to say, like, well, you need this new Medicare card that has been purportedly updated with like a microchip.
Correct.
And it sounds like, you know, maybe that could be possible. But that's not the way you would get a new Medicare card.
Absolutely. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And remember, these are individuals that already have your information. And so they're calling and they're saying, hey, I want to verify that we have the most up-to-date information. And that's what really gets callers to trust these scammers, right? Because they're saying, and they're using the right words. A lot of people call in and they said, well, it looked like it was a legit website. It looked like it worked and I was up and running. And so if you think about it, all of these scammers are putting in and investing money and time into it because they know that the ROI is going to be greater.
So they're pointing people, in some cases, to the fake website.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
You can either get a text message, an email, or anything like that, and they point you to a website in order to get you to fill out your information and supposedly verify it.
But go up, if you get that, take a look at that fake website, what would be some tips that would be good, that would confirm it's fake?
Well, they always have spelling errors,
okay,
right? If you look closely. And also, if you do a search online for the website, never go to the website that they point you to. Always do a search and try to find it on your own, or go back to your records and find out what the actual website is for Medicare or any other insurance that you use.
All right, Irene Coppola, let's talk a little bit about some tips, some more tips that our listeners can use to avoid this scam. I guess it really begins with just don't trust a name or a number, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's common practice per se now that when you see a call coming in, it'll say, you know, IRS, or it'll say United Community Health.
Yes.
But that may not be them. It is a scammer, and it's the new technology. You know, this is what scammers, this is how scammers keep alive, because they keep pivoting. So don't trust just because you see that name come through. Another thing is, if you happen to answer and they're like, you know, we're from Medicare, or we're from this government agency, to make it sound official so that they can gain your trust immediately, don't take that special, you know, those few seconds, and take your time, hang up the phone. Mm-hmm. And go to those websites, as Denise mentioned, you know, do your search, go on to Medicare.gov so that you know that you're on a secure site. And you can double check that by checking the web address to say, make sure that it indicates HTTPS so mm-hmm. that you know that it's secure. Mm-hmm. Also, never share your information with someone that has contacted you without you knowing about this contact. So whether it's over the phone, by email, social media. So this includes any information such as banking, credit card, your birth date, and of course your social security numbers, and your health insurance numbers. All that information should never be given out unsolicited.
Well, I got a call from someone saying they were with Medicare, and they wanted to confirm my Part B number, or my to give them my number. And I said, why are you just calling me out of the blue? Well, they said that this is routine now, that we're going through every Medicare recipient and trying to reconfirm Part A and Part B. You know, trying to make it sound like it's official, but I'm not going to give them that kind of information.
And that is excellent. Excellent what you did. Exactly. And you know what? Throw the question right back at them and say, you know what? I want to confirm the information you have. Yeah. You read it to me and let's see if we match.
Yeah.
You know?
And chances are, and I hope they don't have it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So what should a consumer do, Irene? Can we go to the BBB.org?
Yes, it is so important to be able to report and keep this information open for all consumers. So definitely report the scam to BBB.org /scam tracker. And this way we can help other consumers avoid being scammed.
Yeah, Denise, you're really building up quite a portfolio of content, aren't you, on the scam tracker?
Yes, absolutely. We want everybody to report it. And in case it doesn't match up and it's an actual company, we work with you to be able to file then a complaint if that's the case. But definitely go to BBB.org. You can find a ton of information there. Report a scam, read reviews, positive and negative. So visit BBB.org.
Scammers love the autumn because that means Christmas, the holidays are coming, and everybody's going to be online, and there's going to be shopping, and the scammers always try to find that opportunity. Don't fall for it, whatever you do. Don't give out any of your personal information unless you are rock solid sure of who's on that other line. Let's talk about what else is going on at the BBB. How is the monthly networking mixers going, Irene?
They are growing. They're fabulous. They're a lot of fun. It's a great atmosphere to get to know other businesses, consumers, and you know, it's free of charge. Why not go, right?
So fourth there's no Thursday. No cover charge.
No cover charge. Fourth Thursdays of every month. And the last one of the year will be this coming October 26th in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. It will be at Riley's Pizza downtown, and it's a costume contest. So if you would like, come on over.
In keeping with Halloween.
Yes, absolutely.
So what time are you going to begin? About 5?
5 o'clock, from 5 to 7.
And this is a free event, and not only it's going to be fun with the costumes close to Halloween, raffles, prizes, and I guess there'll be a costume winner.
Yes, it's our last mixer of the month, because then the fourth Thursday in November and December falls during the holiday week. So we will close it out with a bang.
What about nominations, Denise, for the Torch Awards?
Yes, nominations for the 2024 Torch Awards are officially open. So please visit bbb.org/Tucson Torch to nominate a company that you know, work for, or own that is trustworthy and ethical.
What are some of the categories? Do you have
that? Yes, we have the business category, and it's dependent on the business size. So we have a small, medium, and large. And then we have a nonprofit category, and that's for nonprofits that have a revenue of above $1.5 million and below $1.5 million. And then we have our Spark Award, which focuses on millennial entrepreneurs.
Very good. Again, the website is BBB.org. All sorts of information there, including the scam tracker, which is BBB.org/scam tracker. Denise and Irene, always a pleasure. Thank you. Good information.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Back with Dr. Mark Sykes from the Planetary Science Institute right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. One of our great sponsors, Silver City, check it out. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Lots to do, including the Gila National Wilderness. Check out their the hiking over there. The website is southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and Director of the Planetary Science Institute, which for, 51 years has been a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. How are you doing?
Oh, good, good.
On an official government holiday, Columbus Day, also known as Indigenous Peoples Day, and also known for our Canadian friends as Canadian Thanksgiving Day. All right, so we've got a couple of very well-known organizations have teamed up to do work on a commercial space station.
Yeah,
Northrop Grumman
and Voyager.
Voyager,
one makes the Cygnus spacecraft, and the other's been working on a mini space station design, and they're teaming up. It's I wouldn't really characterize it as commercial since NASA is the customer.
Oh yeah, that is it.
More people doing this kind of thing, spreads that knowledge and may lead to some opportunities. One would hope of expanding our economic activity, outside space.
So we have one space station.
The International Space Station,
and it's been in operation for how many years?
A lot. I want to say over 20, maybe even as long as
the upgrade. 30. So it's definitely needing an upgrade, right? Or a new one, or
probably a new one. I mean, there's you know, things wear out over time, and you know, get cracks and all that kind of stuff, and it's quite an assemblage of different components. So you know, whether it can last indefinitely is hard to say.
So what's this new program? What are they looking at to replace the space station?
Yeah, I right now I think the plan is to put it into the ocean in the later 20s, later this decade, and then have some other, quote, commercial things up there to continue to do experiments and be a destination spot.
Will there be a hotel? That's what
I don't know. I'm wondering if PSI can have a lab on one of them. So
yeah. So currently, the space station is run by is it run by the Russians or what?
No. It's run primarily by us, but it's an international consortium.
Oh, okay.
You know, a lot of nations have contributed components to it. You know. Instruments and stuff up there, and also astronauts. You know, they come from a wide number of nations that have gone up there. So it's been a an international positive activity site.
Well, tourism awaits. Space tourism. It's going to be happening.
Well, that's the one real new industry.
It really is
that has started to spawn.
Yeah, what's going on with the New Horizons mission?
Well, New Horizons was threatened this past year to be shut down, at least the planetary component of it. New Horizons is a spacecraft that flew past Pluto. Mm-hmm. It's been flying through the Kuiper Belt, a band of asteroids or icy asteroids, and actually flew by one, which was very interesting, and Arakoff. And it's now departing the Kuiper Belt, but it looks like they're discovering a new Kuiper Belt, which is pretty amazing. Another band of small odds. First time another part of the solar system has been discovered by a spacecraft. And, you know, it's detected a lot of small bodies out there that seem to form a band. But for me, the big thing is that its dust detector is detecting a fluence of dust, a flow of dust that at this distance that requires a significant source further out. And that's that for me. That's the smoking gun, very dusty smoking gun.
Yeah, because during your amazing career, you've discovered comet dust trails, mm-hmm, identified mm-hmm. banks of interplanetary dust arising from asteroid collisions, and determined the temperature of Pluto. So the operative word is dust.
Yes, and
so if it's got dust in it, you're really interested.
But they're also sucking the marrow out of this thing, and they've been doing some excellent heliophysics work, as well as astronomical work, because they're beyond the dust behind them in the inner solar system, and can just see how bright the sky is, for instance, and it's providing some unexpected results. So what NASA wanted to do is they wanted to say, oh, we're all done with this, the exploration in the outer solar system. We're just focused on heliophysics and astrophysics. We'll recompete the team. We'll change the team and everything. And it's like, okay, well, this is crazy because, one, the mission to the outer solar system isn't done yet, and now they've discovered this new stuff. And, two, it's the same team that's been bringing them all this amazing astrophysics and heliophysics stuff. And so why change them out? And so so this caused a bit of a stir, a bit of a brouhaha, and the White House was involved, and Congress was involved, and Planetary Society and other groups were involved. A lot of prominent people just said, this is a bad idea, and NASA finally came around. And so they've restored it, and now it's going to be continuing to explore the outer solar system through 2029.
Well, so they got a little bit of an extension.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
So last night,
I should say, we're not going back out there anytime soon.
No. That New Horizons mission is now how old?
Oh, gosh. This is terrible. I don't have my numbers at my fingertips.
Generally.
Oh, it's like 20 years.
Okay.
So, and fantastic job.
And it was designed to do what it's doing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it did its Pluto mission. That was such a great surprise. All the discoveries there of its atmosphere and the ocean and the heart-shaped feature, and of course the newly named Belton Regio, and out of, after Mike Belton, who was here in Tucson.
Yeah, Pluto's kind of your baby.
Yeah. One of many.
Yeah, one of many. Last night on 60 Minutes, really interesting half hour talking about 3D printing and how NASA has teamed up with this company that's based in Texas that is looking at creating like 3D printed buildings that would go on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already done some of this 3D printing with the military here for like storing tanks and other things. And it really looked like it would have a lot of possibility. Are you at all familiar with that 3D printing deal?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
And you know, the problem
it's
is...
It's robot. Basically, for right. folks that don't know, it's robots building buildings.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to liquefy the material that you're using to do 3D printing, and one of the main ways of doing that involves the use of water. And whether there's any water to speak of on the moon,
that could
there may be
a problem.
In those dark shadowed areas yeah. that they're going to be landing at, but they're not really the first landed mission that they're planning, Artemis 3. They're not really planning to determine what's down there, whether there's enough to shower with or to do 3D printing of buildings.
Well, they were talking about using the actual for the concrete, the mix of the moon surface, the dust of the moon.
Right, but it's got to stick together somehow.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And spit won't do it.
spit won't do it. And this is really something much longer term, because right now we really have no plans to build anything on the moon. There's certainly no commitment to do anything like that.
All right. And the Artemis mission, has that been pushed back again? Or is that still for 2020-something?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen on those kind of timescales, because there's major components which haven't even really been designed yet. And so, you know, it'll probably be the 2030s if it happens.
All right, Dr. Mark Sykes, we can find out more about the Planetary Science Institute at psi.edu. Always a pleasure, Mark.
It's great to be here, Bill.
All right, that'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Sykes and John Engineering on producing the show, I hope everybody has a great day.
We are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.